1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannon sitting in for Joe. 51551 is our text number. Stephen Carberry, you've been in the bouncy castle business for a long time.
That's right, yeah. I've been in it since 06.
Since 2006?
Yeah.
Is it a good business?
It's all right. It's seasonal, obviously. Depends on the summer. You're really dependent on the weather. 90% of it's outside, you know.
But anyway, after what, 12, 13 years in the business, you are worried that you're running out of road.
We are. I was insured with a company, anybody in the industry probably knows them, Leisure Insure. They're a UK-based company, but they were underwritten by AXA in Ireland here.
And this is this for public liability insurance, Stephen?
Basically, it's for public liability. I would do festival events for maybe councils, towns, you know. We do this kind of, you know, like bouncy castles on the streets, you know. I have a job tomorrow in Bundoran where we do a rodeo bull, we have a bungee run, and we have a bouncy castle, but you need public liability for to do these events, you know.
Okay, so yeah. You've been insured. Were you always insured with Leisure Insure?
2014, they left the market for some reason. They wouldn't insure, and I went to Richardson's in Dublin, but Richardson's insured through Leisure Insure, so they were a broker for them that year. So I think I was with them for 2 years, but then I went back again to Leisure Insure.
Okay, so what's the problem now?
The problem now is Leisure Insure have... I was on the... My wife actually seen it on the Bouncy Castle Hires Authority of Ireland, that it was written up on their website that Leisure Insure are no longer insuring in the Irish market. So obviously I decided I better contact them on this. My insurance is due to renew again on the 16th of August this year. So I contacted the company and they told me, yeah, that's right, that information is correct. We were gonna notify. I was like, well, when are we going to do that? And he goes, oh, we're just closer to your policy being up. In which case they said that they blamed the underwriter. AXA are no longer underwriting for them and they cannot insure in the Republic of Ireland. I asked them then if I moved the company to Northern Ireland and Letterkenny here, we wouldn't be that far away from the border. Mm-hmm. They told me, you can and we will insure you, but we won't insure you for the Republic of Ireland. You'll only be insured for Northern Ireland and for England. You will not be obliged to do any work in the Republic of Ireland. So that wasn't really a runner. I contacted other companies like FBD and, you know, some of the main chill insurance and what you have, and they've all just told me the only person they had doing it was Leisure Insure, and because they're not doing it, there's nothing they can do.
So did Leisure Insure, did they tell you why they were pulling out of the Irish market?
Well, the reason that they gave me now was that they said that their underwriter was stopping. That's what they told me. Now, they never mentioned Brexit or anything. They just said, our underwriter has stopped underwriting for us. We can't enter that market if we don't have an underwriter.
And was there any discussion or any reference to the claims culture, the compo culture, as we keep calling it here?
Nothing in that line. Like, as I say, like, I've been going trading since 06. I never had any claims. I had one claim on a rodeo bull, but I went to court with it. That was back in 2010 it happened, but it didn't get to court to 2014. We went to court. The Leisure Insurer were my insurer at the time. They said that they wanted to pay out. I had an argument with them and told them that if they paid out, I would get my legal team to follow them for paying out on a bogus claim. Some of the head management came back to me and said that following my conversation that they would in fact fight the claim. We fought the claim back, went to the High Court in Sligo, and we had solicitors and barristers. We won the case. It was, as it was said, it was completely bogus. And
you've had 13 years and you've never actually paid out, your insurer has never paid out on a claim against your company?
Never paid out, no. We had, of course, that one back, I think it was 2014, we ended up in court with it, like, but we won the case. As it was completely bogus, like, you know, the guy run over and lay down and then said that he had a groin injury, but his medical records show that he actually came off a bike 6 weeks previous to that. And this is where it occurred for me. Just thought he would get a quick claim in, you know. But the other point of it is, nothing was ever done to him. He walked scot-free. He was never taken up for it, you know.
Okay, well, go back to the situation you're finding yourself in now. Well, so your insurance is up for renewal in August.
16th of August, yeah.
And so just a few weeks' time.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And there's no companies. There is no company doing Bounce Castle Insurance in Ireland or Rodeo Ball Hire Insurance.
So what are you going to do, Stephen?
I really don't know now. That's why I was contacting your team, you know, because I've looked at maybe 20 odd insurance companies and I've been told the same thing. That's we wouldn't have a market for it, is what they say to me. So I don't know.
So you're literally facing into having to shut down that business. I presume you can't operate without the insurance.
Well, like as I say, that claim there that we had back in 2010, it seemed to be bogus. Like, if that hadn't been, you know, if you didn't have insurance there, like that, you know, by the time you pay lizards and everything, you know, now you need insurance. Like, you know, you couldn't operate. Like at council events, especially, like, you need your public liability, or they wouldn't even look at you. You know,
and
rightly so.
How is business at the moment?
Business is good, yeah. It's I would have continuous customers, you know, like the job I'm doing tomorrow is in Bondorn. I would do that every year. I have a job that I'm doing for Primerica, which is it's a big company down here. They're an American company. They would do like a family fun day. We have that coming up on the 17th of August. And my insurance is up on the 16th.
I was just going to say, so what are you going to say to that customer?
Well, obviously, I'm still trying to get insurance here as I am at the minute, but if I don't get anything, I'm going to have to notify them and I'm supposed to have to cancel the event.
And do you have people working with you there, Stephen?
I have some friends, family that would help me out, yeah.
So, again?
On a part-time basis, yeah.
So those jobs are going to be on the line as well?
They're gone as well, yeah. But, like, the whole of Ireland here, like, all the brokers, like, I've phoned brokers in Carrick and Shannon, I've phoned brokers in Dublin, I've phoned brokers in Limerick. There was ones in Mayo there as well. But all the brokers are using leisure insurance. Everybody that I've chatted to was using Leisure Insure. If it wasn't through Leisure Insure Direct, which I was, it was through a broker through Leisure Insure. So this is not going to be just confined to me and Donegal here. This is going to be the whole of Ireland. Like these open farms and what have you that have bounty castles, there's probably an 80% chance that it's Leisure Insure that they're being insured with, you know.
So if you're hoping to book a bouncy castle or you're going along to a festival with a bouncy castle set up, you're saying that this could all have to stop. This we could be facing into no more bouncy castles unless this thing is sorted.
Well, yeah, we'd need maybe some sort of, I don't know now, who regulates the insurance company or the insurance companies in Ireland. Maybe they should be looking at it now, because there's obviously the competitiveness as well. Like, we only ever had one insurer. So there wasn't really much competitiveness in it, but now that we've known, it's a lot of worse problem we're facing now, you know.
Well, that's for sure. Stay with us, because we've got James Oakley on the line. James.
Katie, good afternoon to you there.
Good afternoon. You're based down in Kilkenny.
Thanks for inviting us on. Yeah, we're in the business, Katie, 20 years, and I just missed the start of your conversation.
That was Stephen there, yeah, Stephen Carberry. Yeah.
And rather than reiterate what has been mentioned, Leisure Insure notified us here last Friday that they were pulling out of the Irish market come the 1st of August. Okay. Now, we're one of only a handful. We got we renewed our policy back on the 6th of June of this year. So we're actually covered up to June of next year, okay?
Okay, so you've got a bit of breathing space, but...
We have indeed, but I just want to make this very clear. The reason Leisure Insure pulled out of the Irish market, it's a commercial decision that being taken by Leisure Insure, because, you know, the claims just have outweighed the premiums, and it's just not viable for them to stay in the Irish market.
Well, we did try and get in touch with Leisure Insured. They didn't want to give us a comment in relation to this. As you heard, or you might not have heard, Stephen, they're saying that he was informed it was because their underwriter here, AXA Insurance, was no longer willing to underwrite the business. So what do you understand? Was it explained to you why this decision was taken?
My understanding and the relationship that I've had with Leisure Insured for the last 10 years is that claims in this country at the moment in Southern Ireland are just outweighing the premiums. You take the personal injuries board, you know, any injury here at home in Southern Ireland, whether it's a broken arm, leg, chipped tooth, whatever, you know, we're paying out three times the amount that they pay in the UK. And the bottom line, this comes back here to, you know, in one sense, the people that are booking the inflatables. That, you know, we have an old saying in our sector, they're called inflatable babysitters, right? Because we put these out, we hire them out, kids go on, we have them fully insured, terms and conditions. Like one woman said to me one day, we've our terms and conditions, we've our castle inspection sheet, we've our supervision sheet with all the terms on it. And she had to sign, there was three signatures taken. She said, James, I wouldn't have to sign as much if I was taking out a mortgage. But it's too easy for people to claim in this country. And claims are being settled too easy.
But why do you call them inflatable babysitters?
Because they're being hired out, okay, privately I'm talking about. They're left in back gardens. They're given instructions to supervise. You could have anything from 10, 15, 20 kids on the inflatable. Parents are inside or they're doing their business or whatever they're doing. And if an accident occurs, then the blame game starts. Okay? And we're suddenly responsible for that accident when we report to the insurance company. The insurance company doesn't want to take it into court because the costs of taking it into district, circuit, high court, the easier thing to do is to settle the claim. Now, 90% of claims in this country at the moment are fraudulent.
Well, now, hang on a second there, James. I don't know if we can actually state categorically that 90% of claims are fraudulent, because I saw some of the insurance industry up before an Oireachtas committee just in the last few weeks.
Yes.
And the level of fraudulent claims that they were claiming was strongly challenged, and they really didn't have a big answer to come back to that.
Well, trust me, from our sector, right, I'm 20 years out of the business, we've had no reported no reported deaths in terms of our sector. I'm going from the top level down here now. The reported accidents that we're seeing are, the common one is fractured arm. Okay? And in a situation where an accident occurs, like when a child starts to walk at home, he'll fall four, five, six times. He'll fall over. He might hit his head off the couch, off the coffee table. You know, the point I'm trying to get to is, right, it comes down to who's responsible at the end of the day. When we put these units out on hire, that the, as I said, when an accident occurs, right, the parents turn around and fingers are pointed. It's too easy for anyone that's in our sector to be sued.
Have you been sued? Have you had to deal with a number of claims, James?
No. We in the years that we're at, we had one incident with a rodeo ball back in 2011, where a child came off and the mother came back to us saying to us she had chipped her tooth. Okay. And we argued the point with her that it certainly didn't happen when they were on the rodeo ball in terms of how we operate it. But to cut a long story short, the perception is with insurance companies are if it's easier to settle outside of court than go into court.
But come here to me now. How long have you been in business?
Over 20 years.
So in over 20 years, the only claim you've ever had was one child with a chipped tooth.
Yes, we've had reported other accidents, don't get me wrong. I'll give you an example. We had a
No, but if we start with the claims now, because if the argument is that the number of claims, the volume of claims and the extent of the payouts are so huge that the insurance aren't willing to come into this market, yet you have been in the business 20 years and all you've had was one actual claim for a chipped tooth.
Correct.
So does that add up for you, though, James?
It doesn't add up. But if a business is making money, you're not going to close it down, are you?
Yeah, it's just that Stephen, who was on to us just there from Donegal, he's claim free as well. He's been in the business 13 years, has never had a payout from yes. on his insurance.
Yes.
So does this actually add up? I wonder, is there any other... I'd love to hear if there's anyone else out there and they have been hit with a large number of claims or they have had issue with the type of claims that are coming in. I'd love to hear from it, but as it stands, the people that have been in touch with us are telling us that they haven't had claims against them.
No, and believe it or not, Casey, despite what I've said about claims, our sector in general is pretty low in terms of accidents. And I did mention there has been no reported incidents where somebody has lost their life. Now, if you compare that to the motor industry and the road traffic accidents that we see on a daily basis and the number of road deaths in Ireland every year, you know, to insure a car, on average, it's €600-700. Like in our sector, we're talking figures of, and I've proof of this. Like we had a play centre here down our own way, and from last year to this year, the insurance went from 22,000 to 57,000.
Wow. What about your own premium?
It's gone up by 100%.
Is your own premium steep enough?
Astronomically high.
Do you want to share with us what we're talking about?
Sorry?
Do you want to share with us the level we're talking about?
I'd rather not say on air, but it's gone up by over 100% this year as a result of what I think is the claims that are pending and the claims that have been settled. Because let's not forget, Leisure Insure have been in the market for the last 6 months. And they take this rash decision in the last few weeks to decide, right, we're no longer... going to offer cover, and we're no longer going to offer cover to existing premium holders or policy holders, I should say.
And you don't think that there's any element of Brexit in this, because we have had other operators onto our team here saying that they were told that Brexit had something to do with it, because of course we know that insurers who don't have an office in an EU country post Brexit, if they're based in the UK or Gibraltar apparently, will no longer be able to offer insurance quotes to the Irish market.
No, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because I've had numerous conversations with Lewis Davis from Leisure Insure, and up until last year, Leisure Insure were the underwriters were Sports Leisure Cover, and they were losing money. And the extent of the premium increases that we've seen this year was an attempt to try and steady the ship, to try and stay in the Irish market, but I think that what's happened in the first half of this year, there has been an increase in claims over the last 6 months that they've decided, no, we're pulling out, we're losing money. It's quite simple.
Are you here? Like, where are you getting that information from, that there's been an increase in claims in the last 6 months?
Well, that came direct from Leisure Insure.
Right.
That came direct, because at the end of the day, we're finding with our sector, it's too easy for people to turn around and, like, at the end of the day, we're normally dealing with children here, okay? You know, if you put a child out on a bicycle, on a trampoline, on a slide, it's inevitable, if you're not watching them or supervising them properly, an accident may occur, okay? So in 9 times, I'm speaking for the vast majority of operators in Ireland today, when we go out to do our business, we don't go out to set up units to cause accidents.
No, of course, yeah.
You know, but what I will say, Katie, is most of the operators that are out there today, may I say, and I'll give you these figures, in terms of jobs, like we're a limited company here, and this time of the year we've up to 10 employed here. So we've both registered and unregistered operators operating in Southern Ireland at the moment, and we're a little short of 500. So on average, we're talking 3,500 to 4,000 jobs here that are at risk. I'm talking at risk over the coming weeks for anyone that has policies that have to be renewed from next month onward.
Well, that's Stephen's situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Stephen, do you want to come back in there?
Yeah,
for me?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is there anything we can actually do here, like, you know, to try and get a new insurer onto the market?
And say we are in talks with a broker in Dublin who has worked very hard with Linda Murray, who came together and formed the Tally Group, because we do know that a lot of the indoor play centres have been hammered in the first quarter of this year, and may I say, a percentage of them had to close down.
But yeah, they've come together
as a group. They formed Pally, and they have secured an underwriter that will cover them for the foreseeable future. But may I stress as well, when this news broke about Pally, I was told that, quote unquote, that it wasn't sustainable.
What wasn't sustainable?
The broker that's covering the Pally Group at the moment in terms of the premiums and the policies that have been taken on by that broker, that it's not sustainable going forward. And that came from Leisure Insure. The stark reality of it is here at home, 4.5 million people in the Republic of Ireland. In the UK, you've got 64 million. The market here at home in Southern Ireland is not, it's not big enough, number one, and obviously with the decision by Leisure Insure, and may I stress as well, this decision was very much on the cards in the last year and a half here. There was rumours that they were pulling out of the Irish market as a result of all the claims.
Okay, stay with us there, James, because I have Patricia on the line who actually wants to ask you a question, I think. Patricia?
Yeah, how are you doing? I'd love to ask this guy, does he not have a claimant form that if the child is playing, that mum takes them off at their own risk? You know, I can't understand how he doesn't have a claim form. That you can't sue me if this, you know.
A disclaimer is not worth the paper it's written on.
Well, it is actually, because I'm in my own business, and if I do something, you know, or something, whatever, I'll ask them to sign a form, whatever, you know.
And what business are you in? Patricia, what business?
I'm in hair and beauty.
Hair and beauty.
And if I'm doing anything, you know, you have to. It's just when you have your own business, this is what you do.
Patricia, if you're in my office today, I could show you the documents that we get our customers to sign. Terms and conditions, council inspection sheet and supervision. We ask for 3 signatures, right?
And they still sue?
Sorry?
And they still sue you?
Yeah, absolutely. With our rodeo bull incident, where the customer, the mother had signed.
Yes.
So what I'm saying to you, and you can speak, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can speak with any solicitor or barrister, a disclaimer is not worth the paper it's written on.
Well, I've never had a problem with it, you know.
Okay. And have you ever been in a situation where you've
yes.
had to use that?
Yes, I have been in situations, absolutely. But, you know, I have stressed, this is it. It's a legal document. I can get somebody to sign it. I get the lady to sign it, the gent to sign it.
Yes.
And this is the way it is. And they've never come back on me, you know.
Okay, well, that
is
good to
hear. I mean, naturally, if it's raining and it's whatever, you know, you take your child off or whatever. It's like going into any place, you know, if you put your wallet down.
But they don't, in fairness. I'll give you an example. We, with Irish weather, as we see today outside, right, we've 4 seasons in one day. It's raining, the sun is shining, the wind is taken up at the moment.
Yeah.
When wind speeds get to 38 kilometres an hour, we send emails and text messages to all our customers.
And
I have records
stand up in
here.
Court.
Sorry?
And that doesn't stand up in court.
No, well, it shows a good safety practice, you know, in terms of how you're running your business. But I'm going to say this because I deal with a lot of operators nationwide. Courts are proclaim when you're dealing with a juvenile under the age of 18, they tend to, you know, as I've mentioned, it's proclaim. They tend to rule in favour of the juvenile.
Well, I don't know about that because I know a lot of the girls do ear piercing, and you cannot, you know, do anything under the age of 18 unless mum was there or 17.
Yes.
You know, it's just, you know, you go into a shop and they say, look, this is at your own risk. But for instance, today in one of the shops in Dublin, there was a man fixing the moving stairs, and they had a sign out to say, look, if you walk on this, it's, you know, just, you know, and I have to put signs out if I'm washing my salon floor. And, you know, be careful.
Well, each and every one of our inflatables, just to give you a little bit of insight to how we operate and the steps we take, each and every unit that we hire and supply has test and safety regs on the end of the inflatable. Clearly, so the customer can read these.
Yeah.
Terms and conditions, council inspection sheet, to mention again, supervision sheets are signed. Mm. We have our terms and conditions on our website. But in this day and age, who reads terms and conditions? Like, it's like when you book a flight with Ryanair, you get down to the terms and conditions, you tick the box. I am saying, and I have, you know, I've a lot of experience in my own sector here of listening to other operators and my own situations that have arisen over the last two decades, that it's too easy for parents to...
And is your insurance a year expensive to run your business?
Extremely expensive. As in from this year, yes, we've actually... I had to take a commercial decision on this to restructure our business here to move forward.
But there must be a certain type of person that would actually claim if you got them to sign a form and said, look, it's like this, you know.
Patricia,
I've never had a problem.
Patricia, anyone that has kids, right, will tell you, right, kids today, they're our pride and joy. Would you agree with me?
Oh, God, yes, my son. We had bouncy castles, but believe me, if it started to rain and he still went out, he slipped. Well, like, it's my problem because I didn't keep control.
Well,
and if I signed a form, you know...
Here's a story for you. Here, 3 weeks ago, we went back, right? We went back to a private house here down in South Kilkenny.
Yeah.
The unit had been moved. Now, wait till you hear this. The unit had been moved. There was round bales of hay stacked up, and the report came back from our driver here. As he was driving up the driveway, the kids were jumping from the round bales of hay back into the unit. They were off the ground about 7-8 feet.
Yeah.
But I can assure you, when there's an incident or an accident in our sector, fingers are pointed, the blame game starts.
Can I ask you, James, it just strikes me that people could imagine public liability insurance being, you know, people claiming against it in, say you're at a carnival or you're in a public place and you're...
Yes.
But when a private household hires one of these bouncy castles, has it in their own back garden?
Yes.
I'm just trying to think, are there other scenarios where you could say hire, I don't know, some piece of garden equipment or something? Would the person providing that piece of equipment be equally liable if there was an accident with it?
Yeah.
It depends. If the unit is defective, let's call it a barbecue, and
But nobody's suggesting that any of these pieces, these inflatables, are defective. These are accidents that happen when it's being used in the way it's intended to be used.
Yeah.
Incorrectly, correct, Patricia.
Yeah.
Correct.
So what court or judge would stand with the child if it was used incorrectly? I mean, that's really bad mouthing the law, you know.
Well, there's I have to be careful here with data protection without naming without naming operators in my sector and incidents that I've heard and incidents where claims have been settled. Now, there's been a can of worms opened here this afternoon, and I'm pleased it's been opened because The what we're seeing in this sector at the moment, outside of Leisure and Shore taking their commercial decision to pull out of Southern Ireland, let's get back to the claims here, right?
Mm.
We're talking on average, you take it a chip two to my situation, right? You're talking 15,000 to 20,000.
Yeah,
go
but you're
the
saying
UK.
That with the child,
go to the UK,
oh,
that's
true.
Sorry?
You know, the court goes against because it's a child. It's not, you know, more the reason that the court would go against the child. It would actually be the child wouldn't know any better jumping from bail.
Well, the mother is representing the child.
If the mother's representing and she signed her name, I can't understand how any judge would, because, you know, I wouldn't touch
Patricia,
anybody
you,
underage.
Maybe you missed the early part of our conversation here. The problem with the insurance companies at the moment is, right, when you have a claim that's, say, 15,000, 20,000 in terms of a chipped tooth, right, the easier thing to do for the insurance company is to settle the claim before they go into court. Because the costs of going into court outweigh the actual...
That's admitting liability for what you did and what you said and saying, oh, well, my God, no wonder you wouldn't be in business if you were paying out of court every other day.
I think, Patricia, the point is that the insurance companies make a decision not to contest the claims and that the people who have the premiums, are it's not their decision to take. Is that what you're saying, James?
And our your colleague there was on from the north, he fought tooth and nail, as he said there, to contest it and won the case. But at what cost? Like, how many of these cases, right, where we know they're bogus claims, how many of them have been prosecuted? Right? Mm. We need to send a strong signal out, not just in our sector. In the motor industry, there's claims going in there on house insurance. We need to send a strong message out there.
Well, possibly you have done it there now, and for safety reasons, it's a great idea.
Thank you,
Patricia. It really is, and I admire that it's good, you are opening a can of worms, which is great, and that it's the law
the law is one thing, but in reality, needs to happen, and we haven't seen it. How many newspapers have you lifted over the last year where you find Joe Bloggs has been sentenced for 3 years for an illegal claim?
I can understand where you're coming from.
So, James, you're saying that bogus claimants should be pursued if the claim falls to the ground.
Well, litigation is a very big word nowadays, all right. You know.
But it can put a company out of business. As we see with an operator up the north, he can't get insurance. We're talking livelihoods here. We're talking jobs.
Okay, James, stay with us because we have Michael on the line from Wicklow. Michael, you're in the paintball business, is it?
That's correct, yeah. Paintball, airsoft, and we do a bit of off-road driving as well.
Right, and what's your situation?
What James is saying is 100% true. We've been 11 years insured with Leisure Insure. We've had no claims. We had one person try to claim, and it cost me €12,000 to fight my own insurance company, at which point the claimant dropped the case. We had 27 witnesses. We had signed safety statements, and the insurance company were still... trying to pay out on the claim.
And what was their logic on it?
As James says, in Ireland, say whatever you sign is worth zero. We give a recorded brief. We sign the form. We submit that. But at the end of the day, the insurance company decide what happened. So you have no control. It cost me $12,000 to fight a guy who I can't say what he'd done, but it was completely bogus. He was in work the following day and he was suing for €75,000.
Wow.
The guy claimed he'd lost sight in his eye. He's still driving to this day. And it cost me money to fight the claim. This is where it's wrong. It's not... There's three main issues here.
You should be getting it rather than... If you had a bloody good solicitor who wouldn't let that go, it takes just one case for one solicitor to say, right, we're not paying, forget it. And that's it,
this is Ireland, and I'll try to explain what's been currently happening for the last... This is not an overnight issue. This has been going on for as long as we have been in business. The better your insurance policy, the more likely you are to try to sue you. That's just number one. Number two, it's the solicitors. This guy who tried claiming, he's on his seventh solicitor. Again, it got to near the court stages because solicitors are just taking on cases knowing that insurance companies will eventually pay out because it's just cheaper to do that. So
absolutely.
To my 25 staff that are probably in jeopardy of losing their jobs in the next 3 weeks, what do I say? A business I've invested over $500,000 in the last 4 years. So my only option as a company is to insure my shop, my car park as a regular shop, and have a massive sign outside saying, at this point, you have no insurance. I will lose every school that comes to me. I will lose every
Just to clarify that then, Michael, so you're not legally obliged to have a public liability insurance for your paintball business. Is that the case?
We have to inform people coming. Paintball might have to just stop completely. That's one option that my business faces, is just stopping paintball altogether.
Oh my God, that opens the road to everybody then
Hang on a second. There's 43 leisure companies in the last 4 months that have closed in Ireland. 43.
Is that the figure,
I have this figure from one of my suppliers in Cork who books experiences. And he has lost 47 companies that he sells experience to this year. We estimated 1,200 to 1,300 jobs. No one cares. No one cares.
So your insurance is up when?
16th of August, strange enough, too.
Right, and you have looked at all your options, have you? You've done all the shopping
I've got options of going to, say, the likes of Poland and taking out a policy, which technically, you know, it's a policy, but what's going to happen if someone tries to claim? But the problem is, going down that route, you're not going to have the ambulance chasers, because there's not an easy payout waiting in Dublin. So that may be an option. Another option for my regular players is that I can sell them a personal insurance policy through my broker for €11.50 each. For the people that come to me week in, week out, it won't be a big deal. We can incorporate that insurance hit into our registration fee at the start of the year. But that only works for 20% of my business. The other 80% of my business is people that sign up, fill in a waiver, get a brief, and go play. So, you know, straight away, I know I have schools coming to me for 9-10 years, and I have to inform all these schools. I had to take a deposit from a Dublin school for a date next year, and I had to send the email stating, if I don't have the insurance or your satisfaction in place, I'll refund your money on the 17th of August. This isn't an issue that's happened today. This is an issue going on years that no one's cared about, but they're going to find out how much it affects the business. Like, for me, I bring people to hotels in the area. I bring people to garages in the area. I bring people to restaurants in the area. All these people, like there's one food company alone that delivers 1,200 euros worth of food here a week. I'm their biggest customer. The laundrette I go to and spend 20 grand a year, that's going to be a massive hit to that business.
Yeah, you're just. I suppose you need a lot of laundretting for a paintball business. How many people do you employ there, Michael?
25.
And I presume some of those jobs are on the line as well.
25. Well, listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to close. It's not going to happen. But jobs will have to go, because I'm going to lose a certain percentage of the market that won't be happy to come and play on the new terms that I have.
Right. Sorry, James, briefly, you wanted to get in there.
Yeah, Katie, just the broader picture with this, right? We're talking a lot of jobs here, right? In terms of just our sector, listening to that conversation there as well, like we're talking not just inflatables, we're talking amusements, festivals, sports activities. And unfortunately today, despite we trying to argue and debate how we move forward and get out of this mess, this negative conversation has gone out over the airwaves. But what we must get out over the airwaves is to, and this is the approach I'm taking within my business, any claims that come into us over the next while, we will fight them and exhaust ourselves to make sure that we defend ourselves in the right way. And the problem is, at the moment, in that particular area, for the industry, right, and it's been in the newspapers, it's all over social media, it's just putting that thought into people's heads. Oh, I bring my child to the carnival, the amusements, they fall off, I'm going to sue.
And James, just before I leave you go there, if I have a child making their communion next May, how likely is it that I'll have trouble getting a bouncy castle for that?
Highly at the moment, from the information that I was given by Leisure and Show, that I was told that in their opinion, they can't see anyone touching this market the way it is.
Right, OK, we're going to have to leave it there. 1850, you're very welcome. 1850 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, a lot of people will have seen the movie We Bought a Zoo, but Denise, you set up a zoo from scratch in Kiltimock.
Yes, me and my family did.
But you've now run into similar problems as our bouncy castle operators.
We have. From midnight tonight, we have no insurance.
From midnight tonight. So is that it? Will you have to close up shop?
We will, yeah. We can't operate without public liability insurance.
Oh, so tell where are you? What do you do? What have you got there?
We've got quite a big range of animals. We've got raccoons, raccoon dogs, wallabies, llamas. We've got a reptile house with snakes and lizards and that in. And we've got, you know, your rabbits and your guinea pigs and, you know, all the things that everybody likes, really. We have we just put in a new tortoise garden this year because we have three huge tortoises that weigh sort of between 20 and 35 kilos. And we put in a terrapin pond this year as well. But with no insurance, we can't do anything.
So what's your situation? You were insured by an Irish company or an English company?
Well, their main office is in the UK, but they did have brokers in Ireland, and the insurance we had was from an Irish company, from an English company.
Okay. And when did you find out there was going to be an issue with renewing your insurance?
The 8th of this month.
Oh my God, so just over 11 days ago.
Yeah.
And as you say, from midnight tonight, you're now left in the lurch.
Yeah, our gates will close.
Oh, and first of all, what kind of a premium were you paying?
Last year we paid just under €1,000, 908, I think it was, or 980 euros last year, which is really cheap. And we've been paying about that for the last, since we opened, we've been paying about that price.
And how long have you been open, Denise?
11 years.
Okay, so what changed?
Well, the company that I've been insured with for the last 3 years just aren't, none of the insurers in the UK are offering insurance to businesses in Ireland now.
And have you been told why that is?
Brexit was mentioned to me.
Yeah, Brexit, because we were asking the bouncy castle operators if they understood that Brexit was an issue here. They didn't think it was.
Well, I did hear his interview, and I do believe that the compensation culture isn't helping at all. But I was told that because of the uncertainty of the market.
Because of Brexit?
Around Brexit, yes.
That they're not insuring in the Irish market again?
Yeah, maybe when Brexit is finished, or when they've sorted it out, or if it happens, or if it doesn't, maybe then someone will come into the market, or they'll start trading again. But that's too late for me.
So, what are you going to do? You have all these animals. You have, I presume, overheads and debts.
I don't really know, because some of our animals are on the invasive species register and they have to be microchipped, and we have to inform the zoo licensing people and parks and wildlife, and they can't just be put anywhere. And I honestly think that if we don't keep them, they will possibly be euthanized.
And are you holding out any hope that you will be able to find somebody to insure you?
I was holding out hope until last night, because a few people did say that, you know, they might come into you the last minute the day before and that, but as the day has gone on, nobody has got back to me, and I've chased up everybody.
Right. We're going to have to leave it there. Denise, I wish you the best of that. Hopefully something will come through for you. Somebody will come up with an answer for you. That would be a terrible loss if you had to lose your business over that. We have to leave it there. Kieran Dunn was on sound. Laura Lee Davis is the BCO. Rachel Breslin was a researcher. Fergus Sweeney produced. Joe will be back with you next week. But for now, have a great weekend. And Ray Darcy is next.